This show is brought to you by Knapps Gear. Knapps Gear is an advanced online pharmacy working with the industry's leading suppliers. Each supplier goes through a review process of quality control and maintenance of reputation before they are allowed in their store. Check local laws before purchasing.
Advices Radio Network.
Blood, sweat, and gears for informational and educational purposes only. Kids, don't try this at home.
You know it ain't no stopping, all the dogs I'm dropping. It's Friday night, so everything is popping. I got stand to spin on the hand, so let the games begin.
Yackety, yack. Welcome back to Blood, Sweat, and Gear. I'm Scott McNally, and with me, as always, is Skip Hill and S2H. Guys, glad to be back. How have both of you been doing, Scott? What's the good word?
After six swear words and 5 minutes, my Blue Yeti mic works now.
Nice.
So
sexy as fuck. Hashtag sexy as fuck.
You sound
hashtag
good.
Scott is sexy as fuck. It sounds day and night better.
Okay, shut
if
up.
If I wasn't straight, seriously, I'd probably fuck you.
I know. But I believe this will attract many more female listeners with my new mic.
Yeah.
The stealthiness of it. But other than that, no. I got in a
Slayer pussy. I'm just over here hashtagging like a motherfucker. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Okay. Jack O'Lantern. Slayer O pussy. Go ahead.
Thank you. I feel more professional now, too.
Yeah.
Kind of. But what did you ask me originally, Scott?
I said, how's it going? Pretty much. Pretty good. Something like that.
Yeah, I got in a car wreck this week, so that was kind of a
what?
A little bit on the downside of the week.
Was it the BMW?
No, it was my high-speed Jetta.
Oh, then nobody gives a shit.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
Severed my legs, my head fell off, but I put myself back together.
No, for real, what happened?
Was texting, and she hit me from behind. She didn't hit the brakes. I don't know, she was probably going 20, 25.
Ugh.
And so I was all right, kind of. Next day, I wasn't feeling, the normal stuff from getting rear-ended. Car was kind of jacked up, so whenever my insurance company was like, okay, go over to one of those 24-hour little emergency places, just get checked out.
Yeah.
And I was kind of sore, so they gave me a Toradol shot, which I felt amazing for about the next 24 hours. I mean, every ache, pain of my life was gone. But then it wore off. But, I'm okay. I mean, it's just, it is. You get rear-ended, seat belts grab you. But they, they had insurance, thank God. Now, the guy she hit me into in front of me, he gets out of his car. And so he's a Mexican guy, and younger, mid-20s probably. And nothing really happened because when she hit me, I let off my brake so I'd go forward and not take the full brunt of it. So there wasn't much damage to the front or the back of his car. His license plate was bent a little bit. Mine was and stuff. And he gets out and I'm like, well, I'm going to have to call the sheriff's department. He no hablad me. So I asked him in Spanish if he had insurance or his driver's license so I could just get it because he was taken off. He was vomitose.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, no, no bad, no bad. And he got in his car and was gone within like a minute. So no big deal. I think he had a rental, actually, it looked like. But she was all bawling her eyes out in the car. And
Was her car messed up? What kind of car was she driving?
She was driving what's that Toyota? It's the most common one.
I don't even know.
Camry?
Skip?
Camry.
Yeah.
So the nose of her
Skip car doesn't know about Toyotas.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting over here proud of myself that I've heard the term rear-ended three times and I have not said anything immature, nothing. I just kept my fucking mouth shut. Go ahead.
I was penetrated from behind by a Toyota Camry as it went underneath my bumper and lifted me abroad. Yeah. Car kind of went under my bumper a good bit. So, it ripped that up. All this shit's made of plastic. So it just ripped the bottom, whatever section, halfway of it down.
Yeah.
It was up against my tires, but I pulled it off so I could drive it.
No shit, and, man.
Yeah, no big deal.
I'm glad you're okay.
Yeah. Thank you, man.
We have it's a no fault state here in Michigan. So you said, like, thankfully she had insurance. I know here, like, your insurance covers your own vehicle no matter what here.
Yep. Doesn't matter.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Skip.
State of Florida, we just have roughly 25 to 30% of the people insured.
Really?
No, I'm not kidding. The insurance rates down here are some of the worst I've seen in the entire country from places that I've lived before. It's really just horrible. Yeah.
Second highest. Florida's the second highest in the U.S. And
Texas, I was going to say that, but I wasn't sure. Texas is number one. I did not know that.
Okay. Like they said, like 52% of the drivers have no insurance.
Basically, you just want to pay out of pocket because you're going to get totally screwed if you make any sort of claim. My 20-year-old daughter hit somebody about 4 weeks after we were here. And the only reason I got lucky, check this out. We'd only been here 4 weeks, right? She hits one of about four people that I had met. It was the girl who worked at the fucking Tanner.
No kidding.
The only reason, they're waiting for the cops to get here, right? Check it out. And it's on my daughter's birthday, so she's just bawling. And the girl is totally sweet to my daughter. She's like, oh, it's okay, honey. They're waiting on the cops, right? And the girl happens to say she works just down the street at the Tanner. And my two daughters are together. My oldest daughter goes, oh, my parents go down there. She goes, really? Who are your parents saying? She goes, they're really, really dark, like the darkest people in there. Skip and she didn't get out, Melissa. She's like, oh, my God, Skip and Melissa. She's like, no fucking way. Your parents are Skip and Missy. I just love them. Oh, my God, no way. It was the most bizarre thing. But nonetheless, I had to pay out of pocket. It was about $2,500 for that damage because it was going to potentially increase my premiums almost 40%.
Damn.
And I'm not exact. I know that sounds like an exaggeration. Like, you got to be kidding me. That's exactly what I was told. So I had to pay out of pocket for it.
That's messed up.
Did she rear end her?
She did rear end the tanning lady. Yes. And had it not been my daughter, I would have asked for video. But it was my daughter, so it was kind of creepy. So it was not bad damage. All that really happened was, well, let's put it this way. It wasn't rear end. My daughter, like a dumbass, and she admitted it, backed up to go into the other lane and couldn't see her tiny little, how do you say it? Scion? Is that what those are called?
I have no idea.
I don't even know what that is.
There's two things I don't know. I don't know celebrities' names and I don't know cars' names.
Those little box things that, little box cars, S-C-I-O-N. Anyway, she drives an Xterra, so it was sitting up. She backed her hitch into the front of the car and then up on the hood. So it wasn't that much, but it was enough to damage two or three components of the front end of the car, and it costs almost $2,500. So whatever. Jeez. I mean, it is what it is. But that's
how old is she?
Insurance. She's 20.
Why are you paying for it?
Well, technically, I'm paying for it because it was on my insurance, and she is paying me back.
Oh, good, good.
Continue to enable, Skip. Continue to enable.
She's paying me back. That was going to add to the length of the story, and the reality is when it happened, it came out of my fucking pocket. So that's why I was saying that I was paying for it. Over time, she does have a monthly plan of repayment, so she is, in her defense, will be paying it back.
Well, guys, I want to jump in here, first of all, just to say we've got a bunch of questions that we are going to get to. We're gonna mainly focus on questions from the board. I didn't get any callers. I think I might have gotten one caller. We'll see if we can get to him today. But we don't have a lot of callers. If you guys want to do the call-in stuff, then look for the threads. I put one up yesterday. Both from the Advices Radio Instagram at Advices Radio and Scott McNally One. I put that one up this morning. So if you guys see those threads, you want to take part, all I need is for you to DM me your phone number and your question, and you could be on the show. Problem is, a lot of people are working now at this time of the day when we record. Stop it's like, it. You know, 1 to 3 o'clock. That's normal people's business hours, Skip. Not
I
us.
Can't relate. Yeah, not I don't. Yeah. I don't know what it's like to have a normal job. What was your last normal job, Scott McNally?
I worked for 7-Up.
Were you delivering and that sort of thing, like running a route?
Yeah, I ran a route, and then I would merchandise, like build the displays at like the grocery store and stuff.
Okay.
And I'm glad to not be there because this is the busiest time of year. And when I quit, they were really dicking me over. And this is like we're ramping up, right? It'll actually be 3 years ago in 5 days because it was December 15th was the day I quit. And And I told him, I was like, well, guys, you know, you can't do these things for me. That's okay. I'm going to put in my 2 weeks. And my last day was December 15th, 2015. But thankfully, I had already had, like, a lot of people, they're like, they're just going to, like, quit, you know, willy-nilly and not have any plans. I had a full-time career already set up and in place. I was working my job as a coach, and I was podcasting already, like, literally full-time before I even stepped outside of that the other job. So I had, like, two incomes going. I didn't sleep at night, and I could just make that work. But it, point being, if you guys want to do something like that, start doing it before you quit the, because I've seen these kids and they're like, well, I just want to do like coaching full time. And so I just quit my day job and then I put up an ad on Instagram, you know?
Yeah, but that's easy to do because a lot of them are young and they're still living at home.
Oh, yeah.
But I completely agree with you because I did the same thing. I was working with kids. I have many years working with kids in juvenile detention and residential treatment. And I was doing the same thing. I built my business while I had a job that would, you know, feed my kids and things like that. You really have to if you're an adult. I mean, that's not a slam on anybody, but no. You know, if you're living at home, you can get away with it. What about you, Scott? What were you doing? You had a regular job until a little while ago, right?
I have a regular job.
You do now. That's right. You went back. That's right.
Unlike you derelicts of the earth.
You teach people tools to use to kill people.
Exactly. That's it.
No, I have my adult film industry business that I do.
That's kind of a side hustle, though.
I do this and that. But
I got a picture of Scott at work.
He's so clear. He's not being facetious at all.
I was going to say something.
No, you're not. Not anything of substance. It's going to be a huge gray area, but go ahead.
Yeah.
For a company.
Oh, we're losing him. We're losing Scott.
Yeah. On purpose, too. He's probably doing something.
But I will tell you this, Skip. I got a text from Scott the other day. While he was at work, he was wearing a suit. He was wearing dark sunglasses. And he had this it's like one of those things. I'm going to call it a and it said like something about like Scott, did we have you back?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Your internet connection, I think, was going a little fuzzy on us. Tell us your...
I had my thumb on the mute button, kind of pushing it.
Oh. Well, let's try to not do that with your new equipment.
I'm trying to get like the Joe Rogan thing where I grab the mic and feel like I'm Joe Rogan.
You can't grab this mic. It's too sensitive. You don't want to... Yeah. But tell us, what you had a gray area explanation of what you do.
kind of like your 7-Up job. I worked for Budweiser for about 5 years.
Did you?
A long time ago.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. I was a beer truck driver for, I don't know, 3 years. And then I was a salesman for a bunch of bars for 2 years, which really worked out well. Let me tell you, that was probably not the right job for me at the time.
You were drinking then?
Oh, yeah. Well, not before noon, but, you know, I mean, that was my job.
Was to drink?
To bars.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, if you don't start drinking until after 12, you're not an alcoholic. I mean, that's one of the rules, I'm pretty sure.
Absolutely. So, absolutely. Yeah.
Go to the bars, give away free beer, play Golden Tee, be the life of the party, me and another guy. We had suite passes to all the professional sports things. We could take people and stuff.
Were you married?
Yeah, it worked out real well, let me tell you. It was real popular.
Yeah, I'll bet it was real popular with your wife, yes.
it was a good paying job, but it was at that point. It's a great job for a guy that's mid-20s, single, but it's not a great job for a guy who's not single.
Right. Yeah,
not that I did anything wrong, but you're just gone a lot. I mean, they own you at that point.
Oh, but there's so much potential there. There's so much. That's the hashtag slayer.
Yeah, I've never been that kind of type. So, I mean, it's just, but they own you. So if there's a special event, if there's this, if there's that, weekends, they own you.
Right. You
know? Because you have that cush job, what they call it, because you have an unlimited credit card account, expense account, and all that crap. Concert. I used to get concert tickets. Like every major concert you think of, I had like 50 tickets, and they were all really good ones, like the whole string in a row, you know, and just give them out to people of importance or whoever.
Or hot girls. Yeah, exactly.
Well, so we used to give them to the guys that work there, but then they turn around and go sell them to scalpers.
Yeah, so, exactly.
You know, we had to stop doing that.
Let me ask you, so let's be honest. Out of all three of us, can any one of us say that despite the awesome little side benefits on occasion with a regular job, does any one of us think seriously that a real job is better than your current gig? Be honest.
That's a good question. You've got some good questions lined up here, Skip.
I know, right?
There is the security.
Listen,
that's it.
I didn't have a big paycheck, but when I left that paycheck, I was like, that's not a very big paycheck, but I'm leaving a fucking paycheck. Like, holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah. The security and you get benefits for a reasonable price. I mean,
that's true, but I have a wife that has awesome benefits. So I did have, that wasn't something I had to worry about. Thank God. That was a nice little side benefit for me.
Anyway. Okay. I'm going to jump off this topic here because I've been waiting. Like I wanted to introduce you, Skip, but you just like took the reins and you diverted us into what was actually kind of an interesting side topic. But I had to ask you just got back from the Bahamas. How was all that? Because you were getting ready to fly out, like right when we recorded. It was like a couple days later. How was the trip? How did your client do? And what was it like? Was it the Atlantis Hotel?
Yeah, I was at the Atlantis. It was pretty sweet because it was kind of last minute. I just started working with this client like not even a week prior, I think. So she was just a couple weeks out. It was kind of low stress because I was helping her to get through the last couple weeks of the show because she had just come on board essentially for an off season. So I don't want to say I didn't have any responsibility. I clearly was responsible, and that's why I was there. And I was trying to help her to make sure that she was in the best shape she could be in for the show. But this show was, how do I say, it was low stress because I'm not, like, she's just showing up for like to do a show / vacation. It was something she had committed to very much last minute. Knew she wasn't going to be 100%, but she was going to have fun with it. She's a doctor. She's actually a specialist. So I don't want to get into it. It's too complicated what she does. But the point being, her idea of sleep is on like red eye flights. So it was going to be a. She wanted to do the show. It was important to her, but it was also kind of a break to chill and kind of back off, take a breather, that sort of thing. So I had an opportunity to go at the last minute, and it was cool because I didn't know all that much about her. I just started working with her about a week prior. Incredibly intelligent. So because of her specialized field, which is essentially blood pathology, to say she knows hemoglobin, iron, blood, everything is a gross understatement. So I was trying not to pick her brain because, you know, she's the client.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm like, oh, my God, I do have a couple questions for you. And she was so cool about it. So it was cool. It was a nice break. I was able to out of the resort. Out of the resort, off the resort. It all came together.
Yeah.
And I went to this gym called, it was Better Bodies, which in the Bahamas, apparently, you can use, like, corporate names and not be sued, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Not the United States. So I went to this Better Bodies gym. It was fucking totally badass. I did a quick write-up on a coach log on Elite FTS about it. It was like it just come out of the late 80s. It was one of those gyms that was just so freaking awesome. So it was nice to, it was just cool. It was a nice break. It was chill. The weather was the same here. I mean, I had a 45-minute flight, I think, from Fort Lauderdale, and I landed, and about the only difference from the weather and the climate and everything else from Fort Lauderdale was they drive on the wrong side of the road. So I wouldn't have really known I was in the Bahamas, I guess. If I'd have come from Colorado, I'd be like, oh, this is awesome. It's so warm and beautiful. But I was in Fort Lauderdale. So it was a nice break. It was cool. Sometimes when you meet people who are really, really smart and they're like, oh, my God, I'm like, you're a doctor. And they're just dry and they're like socially awkward. And she wasn't. She was cool. I don't think you would have really known like, oh, my God, she's a doctor. She's up the – and not only is she a doctor, but she's up the ladder. Like she's well connected in Canada in the, you know, medical field and in her industry and everything else. So it's kind of cool. But you talk to her, she's just cool as hell. She's got a good sense of humor. She's witty. It's not what you would expect, I think, or what most of us would expect out of somebody who is that fucking smart.
All right. Well, you're leading me to where I want to go with this. I saw you made a post. You were like, my wife is so cool. She's letting me go, you know, to do whatever I want to do with work. And everything I'm hearing, man, this lady sounds like a freaking knockout. A, she's a competitor getting on stage, so she's in great shape. B, she's super intelligent. She's charming and she's smart. Man, that is something else. I just have to say, because I know we talked about this a little bit off the air, but like huge shout out to you for being like a really good human being and doing the right thing in life. You know what I mean? I'm just going to leave it at that.
Well, you said my wife lets me. I'll just say this. I do have a marriage where like my wife doesn't like, she doesn't question any. It's probably just because we're old and we've been together for a long time. She's like, you know what? You're old and no one's going to be interested in you anyway. Maybe that's part of it. I don't know. But the point that I made with the post was, it occurred to me while I was down there chilling by the pool and relaxing and stuff that I am fortunate, not only because my wife is cool, but obviously we have a marriage where we've been together for a long time where things like that don't even really get factored in.
Yeah.
And I was making the point that not a lot of, well, I would say a small percentage of marriages and relationships are like that. And it was funny because I was trying to make that difference. And I even said, my marriage is not better than anybody else's. It's just different. And, of course, you know, people have to get in there and start chiming in. Some of the girls I went to school with and stuff saying, oh, well, I would trust my husband to go. And I'm thinking, bitch, no, you wouldn't. Are you fucking kidding me?
Right.
But it's the right thing to say.
Right.
And even one of them even said, like, well, if you don't trust your partner, then what? Yeah, that sounds great on Facebook, but you're full of shit.
Right.
You are. And it's funny because it's coming from people who aren't even in the industry. First, you're out of shape. You're not even remotely. And you're telling me that if your husband, who's not in shape and you're not in shape, was hanging out with someone who is in shape, it doesn't matter, I guess, that it's another country, but, you know, hanging out with for 3 or 4 days, yeah, you would be cool with that for real? So it was kind of funny because one guy chimed in and said, yeah, I don't appreciate all the white knighting in here. Basically, most of you women are full of shit. And my wife chimed in and said, thank you, Paul, for making that point because they are full of shit.
And she couldn't say that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. She just said thank you. And that's pretty much what she meant. So it was kind of cool. And I just figured, you know what, I had an opportunity to tell my wife that, hey, I appreciate you. You're fucking cool as fuck. And that's what I was doing. I think it may have ended up looking kind of Facebook-y and cheesy. And that wasn't my intent. Maybe it was. Maybe it did. Yeah. My wife's cool as fuck. That was really the bottom line, and that I don't have to worry about shit like that. We don't have those jealous bullshit. Scott knows. He's been married a long time. You don't have that jealousy shit. You don't have that trust crap. You're not thinking, my wife is not home tonight. She's out. She's probably going to fucking bang somebody. But you guys were together for 2 years. That shit crosses your mind. It happens.
So you're telling me that this is an evolution. You haven't always been that way.
No, it's an evolution in every relationship. I think, you know, when you are first, I remember, let's say this, the first handful of years, you know, we're young, we've got kids, or I had kid, I guess. And you're struggling and stuff like that. I would imagine there most certainly was jealousy on occasion where I would think to myself, not only do I think you're trying to move in on my wife, but I have a kid and you're threatening that. And it can be very, very threatening.
Yeah.
But I think after time and it's your relationship goes to a different level where there's trust, where it's almost like, you know what? Even if you did want to fuck my wife, my wife ain't gonna fuck you.
Yeah.
So I'm not concerned about that. You know, if you're telling her she's fine or you're drunk and you're at the bar that she is, those things don't concern me like they, you know, probably did when I was younger and a few years into a relationship. That's normal. I get that. But if you still have that after you've been together for a long time, you got other shit to work on. Yeah. Holy fuck.
I have a feeling.
My point,
Scott, you probably don't have anything to add to this. I feel like Scott's not like the touchy-feely talk about relationships kind of guy. Yep.
Well, I think his relationship is, I mean, just from the conversations that we've had on the podcast, off the podcast, I think his relationship is pretty similar. It's the same thing. They've been together a while, you know, they're tight, they're, you know, best friend, things like that. And they don't deal with that stuff either. If they did, I'd be surprised, because that's the impression I've always gotten from him.
Yeah, I don't think we have Scott anymore. I think he's gone.
He hung up. He's
playing with the mute button, I think. Hey, I had an idea, Skip.
I'm off mute.
Oh, there you are. I was going to change the topic before we went to break. What do you think of this, Skip? I wanted to do something different. And once the holidays are here, it's like all of a sudden you can't do anything because everybody's got their obligations. But this weekend is still not quite Christmas. I was thinking about driving down to Ohio and going to Mike Davies' gym. He's a coach. He has his own podcast, Rough, Rugged, and Raw, with a friend of mine, Sarah. And checking out his gym. I guess he has like a really good place down there in Columbus. It's about like 3 hours away from me. I felt like it would be an adventure to go down there, check it out. I feel like you and Mike would get along too. I feel like you guys should do a show together, actually.
Well, I can't help but think that you maybe don't want to do a show with me anymore. I don't know when you're trying to shove it off on Mike. No, I don't know. I didn't even know he had a gym in Columbus. Every time I think of going to Columbus, I think I got to get to Elite FTS. I got to get to the compound. Oh, I didn't know he was in Columbus. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. He has, it's called Metro Fitness West. It's kind of like in the northwest part of town over there, but they've got, IFBB pro Mike Francois still trains there, and a bunch of other people, newer people train there. It's supposed to be a pretty good community, real heavy dumbbells. I can't remember what they go up to.
Very blue collar, hardcore, badass bodybuilding community, I would bet.
I that's what I think too, man.
Yep.
You're going to find out in another few months, right? We got
to. That's what I'm saying.
We better jump on that. Yeah, let's jump on that. Let's talk about that after the show.
Cool.
All right. Guys, what do you say we get to a break then?
Sounds good.
You still got you, Scott?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. Don't be too excited about it.
I'm in nap position.
All right. We'll be back in just a minute, guys.
People say you're Humpty, you're really funny looking. That's alright, cause I get things cooking. You stare, you glare, you constantly try to compare me, but you can't get near me.
Team Skip has been synonymous with bodybuilding conditioning for the last two decades. From NFL players to professional bodybuilders to 40-something guys that just want to kill it in the gym and their shirt sleeves. If you have too much skin, call Skip. TeamSkip.com, because skin is overrated.
All right, guys, welcome back to Blood, Sweat, and Gear. Skip Hill, S2H. I'm Scott McNally. We've got a bunch of questions here over at the forum. Thank you guys for posting all your questions. It's at forum.advicesradio.com, or you can go to Advices Radio and just click on the forum button. From there, you can get to our questions. Today, we have one from War Machine. Now, I'm going to summarize some of this stuff because it's quite a long question, but basically, we're talking about a big dude here. He is a competitive strongman. He says, first of all, he says, new super fan, Skip and S2H are hilarious. So you guys got that going for you. He likes you, which is
hilarious.
Is good because he's competed at 370 pounds at 5'11".
Oh, not petite.
Good to be on. Yeah, good to have him on your side, you know?
Yeah.
That's as a strongman.
Yes. Says he's currently 287 pounds at 26% body fat, and he's trying to lose fat right now. Sounds like he's on a really good progression with that. Like I said, I'm summarizing here. He's running gear, test, and trend, keeps the doses low. IGF is where his question really comes in, and his nutrition. He says so he wakes up, he eats, and then he trains for a couple hours, and then he, you know, eats, goes to work like everybody else. he says, I've only run
IGF for a few cycles. I don't really know if I'm utilizing it right, taking it an hour before, but I get wicked pumps. So I'm saying an hour before training. I don't want to hit a wall, at least not for a while. So do you guys have any tips for me? And is my food right with my working out when with being on his night shift and everything? He says breakfast is one cup of oats and six eggs. Then he trains. And then after that, all other meals are 8 ounces of chicken or salmon and one cup of rice and one cup of sweet potato. Love the show. So nutrition wise, I mean, can we is that a question we can even tackle without?
Well, here's what I can say about the nutrition.
Yeah.
He was linking, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, linking his nutrition question in with the fact that he works the night shift. And what I would say to that is, it doesn't matter what shift you work. I think sometimes people think, well, I'm up at night, so it'll be different. What about the timing of the meal? Basically, when you wake up is your breakfast. I understand your circadian rhythms are kind of out of whack and everything else. It's a different time of the day. But as far as nutrition is concerned, it really just needs to be treated with that first meal. It's like you wake up, it's your first meal. It might as well be 8 a.m. or for me, it would be 2 p.m. because I sleep longer. For someone who works until 9 a.m. in the morning, it might be 6 p.m. So it doesn't change it doesn't have anything to do with the meals or the makeup of the meals based on what shift you're working. If that is what he was implying, and it sounds like that's what he's saying. Now, when he breaks down the macros and everything else, really all I can say to that is the way he was describing his progress as gaining roughly 2 to 3 pounds of muscle a week and losing 3 pounds of fat.
Yeah. I didn't mention that on the air. So for the listeners, yeah, that's his progression is 3 pounds of fat loss, 3 pounds of muscle gain each week. So I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
And whatever he's eating at that point, he could be eating cat turds out of the litter box. Keep doing what you're doing, because that type of progress is insane, provided, obviously, the strength. And if he's gaining muscle, his strength has to be, at the very least, would be stable. It would almost certainly be increasing. So, honestly, I would ride that one until the horse don't move. I wouldn't make a change, adjust. Shit. Mama said you don't fix what ain't broken. My clients have heard me say that for years. Let it ride until it's not moving anymore. So, to answer his question, whether it's working or not, or whether he should change, don't change a damn thing. Ride it.
Fair enough. Now, Scott, what about the IGF? I know that's more in your wheelhouse. We've talked about it before, and I know you have a very specific time in training that you personally found it to be most effective. He's taking it an hour before he trains.
Yeah, I mean, some people like that. I don't know what kind of IGF he's using. Specify.
No, he just said IGF. He is going to a doctor.
Yeah, it's probably DES.
Okay.
I mean, if it's working for him, if it's DES, I would stay with that. If it's LR3, you could go with right after immediate post workout. So, you know, after the last set, go to the shitter and send it. And then I used to use Torrent, the one with carbs, a couple scoops. Chug like half of it and then sip the rest of it for over about 45 minutes, an hour, to eat your next meal with carbs. But I don't know what kind he's using. Most of the anti-aging doctors go with a DES route. So he might want to just stick with what he's got going on. I would say don't get too over confident in the deck. I'm assuming he's using a DEXA scan with the 3 pounds of fat loss and 3 pounds of muscle, because I don't know of anybody that's ever gained 3 pounds of muscle in a week. And the DEXA scan it's accurate, but it can give you a little bit of a little bit of false reading sometimes in those regards. But you know, if he's going the way he's going, he said he wanted to get to 10% body fat. He's what, 285, he said?
Yeah, 287.
Oh, he'll be down around 240. I mean, 5'11", 240 at 10% is pretty big guy.
Yeah.
I would just keep doing what you're doing. I mean, if you're progressing and you're making progress, I don't really see any need to change anything. But you also can't be too hard headed that when you do stall or begin to plateau a little bit, you need to mix some things up. Diet wise, I mean, maybe he doesn't like vegetables or fiber, but he's got to be giving birth to freaking concrete blocks on that diet. So I would think. So you might want to look to, even if you don't, even if you can introduce some fiber, even if it's from a supplemented type of source, OTC source, but you might just want to mix your diet up some, because eventually your body, you know, the human body adapts to anything. So if you continue to eat the same foods all the time and you see that your progress is slowing, you can just even look to mix your protein, carbohydrate sources up and, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, if it's working, keep running with it. You can try the post-workout IGF. You know, I mean, you can sample, try different methods with it. If it doesn't work, you know, just go back to what was working.
Okay, fair enough. I'm going to move on here. This is from Devin68691. I wonder what that number is. Maybe it's part of his social security. So
let's probably see. A zip code.
Maybe that's it. I wonder where 68 is.
I'm gonna look.
All right. Ah, so you can get there faster. 68.
Or not zip code. You know.
Zip code. So I'm gonna kind of, let's see if I can. I don't know if I can summarize this. I'll just read through it all. He says, I really think you all should do a live cast where you can watch S2H's facial expressions while Skip talks about his cat. I think that could be interesting. Let's see. Okay, for my question. I've been blasting and cruising for 3 years, and I usually run a 12-week blast and a 12-week cruise. Doses on blast have varied. I run D-ball, test, trend. After the blast, the bloods are not coming back in the healthy ranges where I'd like them to be. So I'm going to come off completely and have bloods done 4 weeks or so, and will not go back on a cruise until I level out. My real concern is my eight. See, I'm wondering if he has his cholesterol values mistaken here, because he says my real concern is that my HDL is through the roof. However, my LDL and overall cholesterol are in a great range.
Well, that's because one's low, one's high.
When I come off, I am concerned that my estrogen is going to skyrocket and before I know it. I will be watching Gone with the Wind and pushing a cat in a stroller.
Nice. Okay.
I currently only have access to Letro as an AI. And I know that it's like using a grenade to kill an ant, but it is all that I have. Since I will be running bloods every 4 weeks, could you suggest a basic PCT that would help me to normalize and to keep my sex drive up? Love the show, and thank you for all the excellent content. So, Scott, did you figure out where Devin lives?
Yep.
Did you get San Fran?
And
what?
You got San Francisco, right?
I'm not telling.
I thought I got San Fran, but I don't know. I was checking with you.
Great radio. Great radio.
Yeah, great radio. Yeah, it's that area of operation. Yeah,
San Fran.
Okay. Don't tell anybody, Scott. Let them look it up on Google themselves.
I got the text message from Sky. He's like, "You're making noise." So I'm trying to stay still, not move at all. Just moving my lips. My whole body's frozen.
All I'm caps, locked. Quit making fucking noise.
Yeah.
What do you think about Letro, guys?
I think that's like, tough. That's tough. And he didn't mention his estrogen numbers, though, right? He just said, I think they're high. That's.
Well, he says he's concerned it's going to skyrocket.
Yeah. Yeah. And gosh, there's a couple things going here that I'm not crazy about. As an example, he's concerned about the LDL, HDL, and I agree with you. I think he's got them. He could have them backwards. He could have them. That doesn't jive. If he's using orals and his LDL and HDL are, it sounds like backwards. His HDL wouldn't be ridiculously high typically after using an oral. So I'll start with that. And so he'd need to make sure that those numbers are right. The HDL is actually the HDL and LDL, that sort of shit. You can't I don't like it when people guess at estrogen. You can say, well, I think it's up. And even people who have been around for a long time, usually, I've done it myself. I've been like, well, I can usually tell and I have a feeling. It's just too easy to know. So you kind of have to know. You got to find out where those numbers are, because otherwise it is a guessing game. And when you, yeah, he said it's like killing an ant with a grenade. Basically, the only option he's got for anti-estrogen is Letro. And I'm wondering why, other than it's just he's got it on hand, so he doesn't want to buy anything else. I mean, I'm being presumptive, but I'm thinking, yeah, that's kind of lazy. So you got to get away. And I can appreciate that he's a cat stroller kind of guy, so I don't want to bust his balls for being lazy. But that's the reality. I mean, if you're having problems with LDL and HDL and you're concerned about your estrogen and you don't want it to be out of control, yeah, you're probably going to want something then that is a little more mild on the system than Letro. That's just huge. So then what you're going to potentially do is you're going to dose the letrozole to control the estrogen where you are assuming it's high, and then it's probably going to end up in the freaking basement. I mean, it just doesn't take much of that stuff, even dosed, you know, twice a week, to put your estrogen in a very, very, basically into the single digits, quite frankly. So PCT coming off, I mean, yeah, he even talked about doing bloods. Doing bloods when he came off. So my concern is, or my question to him is, do you have blood work that shows what your numbers are while you're on, almost kind of worst case scenario, I guess, versus when you're off? Because I mean, we all know, you know, even if you have horrible blood work when you're on, when you come off, if you give enough time to come off, your blood is going to be fine. It's going to return to normal. It just, the question is more how long it's going to take, not whether it's going to return to normal. So when people do their blood work and they only do it when they're off, oh, my blood's great, I'm going back on, and then they have no idea what their blood work looks like while they're on, that's when it's going to be the worst. You got to be able to contrast what your blood work looks like when you're on versus when you're off. So, you know, I when he was talking about blood work, I don't think he was really asking a question as much as he was saying, I'm going to do the blood work when I'm off. I say do it when you're off, do it when you're on, so that you are able to tell just how bad it is while you're on. And that'll give you a better idea of what to run, dosage-wise, compound-wise, things like that, because it may not be a good idea, especially if you have LDL and HDL issues, to run an oral in the off season. It just might not be a very good idea.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But there's just a lot. There's a lot there. I mean, I know I'm spitting out, I'm throwing out a lot, but there's a lot there to his question. So that's, if I missed something that I can't recall, I think I covered it. I'm not sure. Scott?
Well, I would say his plan, as he stated, is flawed. That's the best way to put it. So if he's obviously has blood work on, it's not that great, even regardless of the numbers are upside down, whatever. To take 4 weeks off and to PCT, first of all, if you just take 4 weeks off and don't do anything outside of using an aromatase inhibitor, you're going to alter your hormone levels if you're using HCG, whatever, to PCT. I'm not a big PCT fan anyway. But even if you just took 4 weeks off, just dropped everything cold turkey, your blood levels aren't going to stabilize. They're not going to normalize in 4 weeks. They're still going to be elevated from your 12 weeks on. So if you want true numbers outside of using an aromatase inhibitor to control your estrogen, I would wait at least 7 to 8 weeks post removing everything and then take your blood work to get an accurate number.
Right.
You could also caveat that with, you could mix in some blood work a couple weeks after you get off just of your estrogen, your estradiol, to establish where you need to be with the aromatase inhibitor, to keep that somewhere in range where you want it to be up until you take that clean blood work 7 to 8 weeks out. You know, Letro, it's parroted a little bit, but it's been proven that that actually Arumidex is a slightly stronger aromatase inhibitor than Letro. So
wait, what?
Now Letro, yeah, that Arumidex, there were some studies that came out that Arumidex actually was more effective. Now it doesn't have some of the same, it's not exactly the same drug, you know, even though they are fall into the same category, but yeah, Arumidex was actually shown to be more effective.
When you say more effective, do you mean like stronger?
Yeah, at inhibiting aroma, inhibiting aromatase. Yeah.
See, I think you touched on this like a couple episodes ago, and I think I remember you saying that, and I didn't get a chance to check on it. Which is not to say that I don't believe you, because that's not the case at all. When you say something, I believe you. I trust what you say. But the thing is I guess what I'm saying is I've never seen anything like that. Not to say that Arimidex is not strong and effective, because it is very. I think if you take Letro and you take Arimidex, they're so far above aromas, and I think that's why they're so harsh. But at the same time, I did not know. I always had Letro as like you can sometimes dose that shit like once a week. Wow. And it's so small. You know, and they make like 2.5 and 5 milligram tablets, and that's just so overkill. I'm gonna check on that, or if you have something, send it to me. Just because I don't believe you, because I do believe you, but I just want to see it, and so that I can say, holy fucking shit, I've seen it.
Keep in mind this: they're not gonna run clinical trials on males with this. So this is with females.
Gotcha.
So you know, there definitely could be some varied degree in that. But I don't think Letro is the almighty just death sentence, as some may think it is. I mean, if anything, don't take as much.
Hmm. Yeah. Right, but it's just so I don't think it is either. I agree with you, but I do think it's a death sentence on like if you're estrogen, basically.
Well, I mean, it depends what you're. I mean, you know, the part of that he made was, I don't want to take a whatever hammer to an ant or whatever. But what if your estrogen's like 200?
Yeah, sure.
You know, absolutely. I mean, maybe you need to take a hammer to your big ant. So why you get the estrogen, the estradiol checked a couple weeks after you come off and see where you're at. And that way you know where you're at and you can make a more informed decision instead of just going, oh, I think my estrogen's high or whatever. You know, whatever I read on the internet.
He did mention PCT, so I would throw this out, and I don't want to try to take this question any longer than I have to, but I do want to say I'm just not a fan of anything. Well, first, I'm not a fan of PCT. I mean, I've said that for years. I'm not a fan of PCT. I say don't use it if you don't have to. But if your HTPA doesn't recover quickly and you feel, hey, I need PCT, I'm just a Clomid guy. Where are you, Scott?
Well, I'm not a big PCT person. I didn't think so. I'm gonna put that, I think we've talked about this before. So if you're doing like 2 8-week 10-week whatever cycles a year, yeah, and depending on your age bracket, different things, yeah, maybe, or once a year. But if you're gonna run 16 weeks or whatever and then you're gonna take 6 weeks off and run PCT and get back on, it's just a big giant hormonal roller coaster that your body's just not, it's not doing you any good, because you're just jacking up your blood levels and hormones all over the place. And it's the same with going on PCT and getting blood work. Well, that blood work's still altered by exogenous drugs you're entering in your system.
Right.
And elevating and dropping hormone levels. So I don't think you're not going to get a clear picture from it. I think there is a place for PCT more in younger males that are only maybe doing short or one cycle a year, maybe two if it's not too long. But when you get to a certain age and also to a certain length of cycles and the amount, there's no real need for it. I mean, you're just going up and down the hill.
What if you're in a Bukkake line?
Well, there you would need the Cialis part of it.
And that brings me to the other part of his question. Was he said, is it possible to keep my sex drive up?
Well, there's two parts to that. Can you get a Woody? Or do you have the desire to have sex? Yeah. And those are two different things.
Right.
And then, you know, obviously there's sperm count and all that in there too. But I mean, if you think, you know, if you're so worried about performance, just take some boner pills and rock it.
Yeah. But what was he specifically asking in reference to, I mean, I guess
the fact that he's, because normally he blasts in cruise, and when he's in the cruise, it's obviously not an issue. You know, he's just cruising and everything's fine, and then he goes back on and everything's extra fine, but now he's coming off completely to deal with this blood work situation, and he's wondering, you know, is it possible to keep libido up? Is there a way, basically, probably, is there something he can take, is what he's wondering.
Yeah, and that's more of an individual thing. I mean, some people can come off and they're fine. I don't want to give you know, too much information that people don't want. When I'm off, I don't have much. Here's the thing. I'm not walking around like, oh, my God, like I've got to hit something. But it's not like the desire is not there. It's just not like while I'm on. Some people have different issues, though. They may have the desire. There's a combination of things. They may have the desire, but then they can't even really hold, sustain blood flow. That's an easy. That's more of a Cialis type of issue. Or they can sustain blood flow and everything works and seems to be fine, but they can't finish. That's an issue. That can be frustrating. There's different combinations of things. But if he's talking about just desire itself, desire, as Scott said, has nothing to do with Cialis. Cialis is just basically Cialis is keeping blood flow there.
What about in the Bahamas? What happens there?
But I don't think the Bahamas versus any other place would affect sexual function. I don't think. I mean, what do you mean like an elevation is no different? So that wouldn't play into it. Climate, length.
I was kind of leaning towards another topic barrier. Of it. But yeah.
There could be a language barrier or something. And driving on the other side of the road wouldn't impact it either. I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure what you're.
Well, you would be the only one to know out of us. That's why I was asking.
You're such a...
Hey, I'm just researching.
Right. Researching. You're just doing your homework. I understand.
That was actually a Scott Stevenson question for you, but that's a whole other topic.
What does Proviron do in PCT? Is that going to keep you from recovering?
Well, it's still a steroid.
Okay. Because yeah, I know guys that want to run... Yeah, because I know guys that want to run it. You're saying that that's gonna keep him from recovering, and I assume that's gonna affect his cholesterol too.
I mean, anything. So let me step back. So if he has bad numbers now, on you want to see your numbers when all these hormones have left the system. So where you're at, you don't want to be. Start when you start mixing things in, and just I'm kind of gonna do a little bit of this or try to keep this going. You're still altering your hormones and the hormones in your body. So you're not going to get a clear picture of really where you are baseline clean of everything. So you just got to stay off. And most people are like, oh, I'm going to shrink. I'm going to be like lose 40 pounds of muscle or whatever. You're not. Just up your food. Keep training. You may have to, your recovery was going to slow down a little bit, but just get a clear, clean number. And then when you know, and you don't really have to go back and do that a lot because once you have that clean number, you know what it is.
Okay. All right. Good stuff for him. I guess there's just no way around it. You know, if you're going to come off, you're going to come off. And I guess that, you know what, your libido might have to suffer for a little while, right?
Yeah.
Possibly. All right. We've got another one from Keenan. Keenan RMT. He says, hey, guys, love the show. Big fan from Canada. Shout out to Canada. I have a question about kidney readings on blood work while using gear. I just got my blood work done, cruising at 200 milligrams of test E per week for the past 8 weeks. Before this was a small 8 week cycle of 125 milligrams of test E and Tren Ace at 32 milligrams every other day for 4 weeks. Then 32 milligrams daily for 4 weeks. Little experiment to see how well I did with lower dose, it looks like. 29 years old, 212 pounds. So started using gear approximately 6 or 7 years ago. EGFR is at 57. Reference range being 59 or under. Urea, 9 to 1. Reference range being 2.8 to 7.5. Creatinine 143, reference range 50 to 120. So it looks like his urea is a little high, his EGFR is right near the top, and his creatinine is high a little. I have no symptoms of poor health, etc. BP is slightly elevated to normal. Averages being 130 over 70. All my blood work was perfectly within normal range except for kidney function. It says right on the labs that increased muscle mass leads to an underestimation of EGFR, and I do know intense resistance training can influence kidney numbers as well. Just wondering if you guys would mind touching on exactly how these numbers are influenced by what we do, drugs, size, training, diet, whatever. And if we are expecting to be out of range as bodybuilders, at what point should we be worried? I think that's a good question.
Yeah, I do too.
You know, because a lot of times you see that stuff all, you know, out of whack and high, and people say, oh, well, you're a bodybuilder. But you get your lab work done and then you get all the shit that says out of range, and they say, well, it's because you're a bodybuilder. You're good.
Well, it's a natural. I know I do myself when a client sends me something and I see that, you know, I don't know, I'm guessing it, you know, 80% of the time, 75% of the time, something like that. Their kidney numbers are just either at the very, very top end or they're just slightly out of range. And the first thing that comes to mind is, and you have to ask, is when did you train last? How hard did you train? Were you sore? That sort of thing. Because a lot of us won't take a day or two off prior to having blood work done. And it can make a big difference when it comes to these values, much more than a lot of the other values that you would get done. So that is an important thing. I think what's more important, and I'm curious if Scott agrees with me on this or not, but kidney numbers are difficult to assess or evaluate without some sort of pattern over time to see if they're relatively stable, if they're increasing, you know, essentially getting worse. That's if there's any type of progression there. Because if you're at the high end of normal, and let's just say that this guy, for the sake of this question, this conversation, this guy's blood work is, he didn't train and he wasn't sore and he took 2 days off and he's fully hydrated and all that sort of stuff, then those numbers might seem, okay, yeah, that's a little more concerning than if you had trained. But yet, if he could go back over 3 or 4 blood panels that cover a couple years or maybe even 3 years and say, or be able to say, they're basically the same numbers, and I'm not a doctor and I'm not going to play one on the podcast, but I would say to my client, if that was my blood work, I probably wouldn't be terribly concerned because there's no progression here. Do you feel the same way, Scott? I think those patterns are very important.
Yeah, I mean, there could be other things playing a role in that, but he says blood pressure was up a little bit.
But it's not 130 over. Oh, it might be up a little from what it was, but that's not considered a concern. 130 over 70?
No, but it just went up a little bit, which is kind of normal with testosterone use. I mean, exogenous testosterone use has been shown to have some effects on the kidney, very somewhat mild. I mean, his numbers don't sound, if I heard him right, don't sound too bad. But there's just, it has some effect on the renal function of the kidneys. I'm not advocating using any diuretics, but I believe in something I read somewhere that they did some testing on this, some clinical trials, and when some introduction of hydrochlorothiazide was brought in, those numbers stabilized, the blood pressure came down a little bit, and the renal functions and came more back to normal. But I don't think there's any real strong studies to show that there's any big risk, but that it does affect the renal function of your kidneys to some degree. You know, it also depends on his hydration level when he took the lab work. Protein intake, you know, was it really high at the time? There's some other factors that can play in that, but you know, it's I would just retest, make sure you're hydrated, don't gobble like 1 million grams of protein, and see where you're at from there.
Yeah. And I think that Skip's assessment is probably good, that it's, you know, Dr. Steve Ogden said this too. It's more about the trend versus the single set of labs in a lot of this stuff. I heard this explained to me, which was like a really cool visual picture as far as kidney function tests and the amount of muscle that a bodybuilder has. So if you imagine a bucket, okay, and you have a cup of water with water in it and sand, and then you dump that through a paper towel into the bucket or some type of a filter, there's going to be a certain amount of sand particles that filter through, are going to be in that bucket. But the more sand you have in the cup, the more you will, the more sand will be in that final bucket. You follow me so far, Scott?
Yeah, I follow you.
Okay. You got to work on your mute skills there.
Well, I was leaning back in my chair, almost fell over.
Did you?
I didn't realize it didn't stop very easy.
That's funny, man. So if you're a bodybuilder and you've got more muscle, it's kind of like having more sand in the cup. So the test is the amount of muscle fibers that they see in your bloodstream that have basically passed through the filter. And so for that reason, if you have more muscle, there's going to be more, you know, muscle in your bloodstream. If you're training hard, you're breaking a lot of muscle down, there's going to be, you know, more muscle in your bloodstream. If you're a little old lady who doesn't have a lot of muscle mass and you're not very active and you were to have an elevated reading, then yeah, that might be the sign of a kidney issue. But for someone like yourself, you know, it's just mildly up. As long as it stays consistent, as long as it's, you know, it keep these labs and then compare your next set, you know, down the road. And if you see them consistently going up and up and up, then you might have a problem on your hands.
Yeah, I mean, the trend part's important, what he said. You know, I mean, a lot of people get labs one time. And yeah, there are some stuff in there that can be very alarming because it's way out of whack. But if you don't have a trend, you know, you can't really judge it off one set of labs always.
Yeah. I'm going to go over to Wolfie. He's got a question. It says, hey, guys, love the show. Longtime listener. First time posting. First of all, I'm late in welcoming Skip to Florida. So he's
nice.
Yes. Oh, you're back.
Where is
nobody knew you left until I said that. He doesn't say. He just says actually he says I moved back from Kentucky in 2000 and it was one of the best decisions that I ever made.
Nice.
Huh. Right. So says second congrats on quitting dip. That's
Quitter.
For you as well.
I know.
Quitter. I'm taking a dip right now. Just for that, I'm taking a dip.
Yeah, 2.5.
He says he's also dipped for 20-plus years and recently quit 2 months ago. It has been tough. I think I can make – it says I think about it every day still, and my weight has gone up about 10 pounds. Have you noticed any differences, Skip?
No, I haven't, but – when I quit was the first day that I came back to the gym after not training for 12 weeks.
Oh, wow. Was it 12 weeks?
Yeah, ended up being, yeah.
Man, I didn't realize it was that long.
Yeah. I kept myself busy.
I guess.
And yeah, after about the seventh week, I just fucking, it's funny because reflecting back, I didn't want to go out. I would have food delivered, things like that. So it's funny how your brain works, but whatever.
Yeah, I remember you were eating like anything you wanted, but you didn't even care at that point.
Yeah, about that 6 week mark, there was really no more hunger. To the point where I would go all day, I would work. And it's funny, when you don't train and you don't eat and prep your meals, you get a lot done in a day.
No kidding. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You really do.
Very, very productive. But then I wouldn't eat until I'd been up for 12, 14 hours. And I would eat one huge meal and then go to bed and got fat as hell that way.
Dude.
It's lovely.
That's so extreme. That's so extreme, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. But that's the all or none thing. You know, people say, well, how can you do that after training for so long and you're usually in shape? Because everyone has their shit. And my shit is it's 100 miles an hour or nothing. And I'm not going to eat right or even bother to eat. Really?
Right.
If I'm not training, I'm not going to do it.
He says, he's gone up 10 pounds. And he said he used to use it for appetite control, too. First question, any tips on controlling weight after quitting?
Don't quit.
I know,
great advice.
Don't be a quitter. Usually what happens, I don't know that this will have the same nicotine does have a bit of a metabolic edge. Now, listen, I am not telling anybody that, you know, using nicotine gum or starting to chew tobacco or smoke cigarettes is going to make you lean. But there is a component there that is thermogenic from the nicotine itself. So my best advice is this. When you quit something like that that is so addictive, you almost really have to replace it with something. Hopefully just a lesser of the evils. As an example, when I quit 14 years ago, I started drinking coffee. every morning, that was my go-to. I didn't wake up to a rub of Copenhagen. I woke up to getting my coffee, my cup of coffee, and trying to get to the toilet before I'd shit my pants. So the caffeine kind of helped to offset what I felt like I needed or wanted every day when I got up. But there's really nothing that I can think of off the top of my head that you're going to be able to replace the, you know, dip or tobacco or whatever you call it, that's going to make up for that difference metabolically. I don't know that you're going to be able to do that. I think the best thing that you can do really is you're probably going to have to make some sort of adjustment calorically, and it might be even that you have to add a little bit of cardio or your caloric expenditure to make up for it. How much, you know, does nicotine play into it? If you're talking about, you know, black and white numbers and calories, I have no idea. I don't know. There's other factors in there. Like, as an example, is his diet so tight and so structured that it has remained the same and he's gained weight, or has the lack of chewing increased his appetite and he's now eating more calories than he was before, and that's why he's gained weight? There's different things. When people stop smoking, especially an average person who doesn't work out, they tend to just eat more. So it's not just that you're missing out on this, you know, metabolic, like, you know, nicotine is this huge fat burner. You're missing out on the fact that you're not doing anything with your fucking mouth now and with your hands. So you're putting food in your mouth. You're feeding yourself more and you're getting more calories. That's probably the bulk of the weight increase. He's probably eating more. That's probably the reality of it.
Yeah, I could see that. Where were we here in the question? He says, any tips on quitting? Also, do any of you three know doctors or clinics that prescribe GH in Florida? He says, I've only ever been to a doctor prescribed TRT clinic, and would love to keep things legal due to my job, etc. He says, I'm 41 years old, 5'10, about 215 currently, higher body fat, and would love to compete just one more time. No big goals, just want to place top three in a local show one time in my weight class and hang it up for good. I've done three shows over the past 11 years. It's tough for me having two kids that are very active with cheer, soccer, football, etc., plus a wife that also works full-time and isn't crazy about me prepping for a show. Sorry for the long post. Appreciate the three of you. So he's looking to keep, he wants to get on GH, but he wants to keep it legal. I mean, open the phone book is going to be my thought. There's a ton of Google places down there, aren't there?
Yeah, this is pretty much TRT and Research Liquid Heaven. The laws are different in the state of Florida. I don't know the specifics of it, but I've been told that so many times, and that's why there's so many clinics here and so many research liquid companies. Apparently, I don't know, the consequences are less. I'm not sure, but they're everywhere. I wouldn't know. I don't know specifically. Number one, I haven't been here very, you know, I've been here a year, I guess, but it's not something that I have had to seek out. So I honestly just don't know. I will tell you, you'll get hit really, really hard for the cost of that growth hormone through a doctor and through a compounding pharmacy. But I'm not telling anybody to go black market because that would be illegal. But the quality of growth hormone, if you have even decent connections these days on the black market, is very, very high quality. So there's that.
So I just Googled Florida HGH anti-aging clinic and got about 50 of them pop up.
Yeah. The costs are really expensive. I've got an app. Do you guys have this GoodRx? Have you heard of that? Let me see if I still have it on my phone here. I might not have it because I got a new phone. I might not have it here. But I looked up Humatrope one time before, and it came out to like $1,200 a month.
See, Costco. let me just say this, and I'm going to see if Scott backs me up on this or not. I'm not asking him to, but I'm curious if he's going to. I say that there are some generics out there right now that are testing so high that you would waste your money by purchasing farm grade GH. Do you agree, Scott?
I don't know currently. Okay. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, I think back when I used to do the board thing, you know, people would always put up results, and I think about 95% of them are full of shit. So take that with you, Will. I mean, I don't know, but the guy said he wanted to go legal. So yeah, it's going to be pretty pricey, but, cause most of your anti-aging clinics, you have to purchase through them. Mm. So it's kind of a racket, but, I mean, yeah, I mean, you could write Skip. I don't have that, I wouldn't know right now. I don't keep up with it anymore, but yeah, it's possible.
Right. All right.
I know VJ has a doctor. He's a physician's assistant, and you know, he's prescribed a lot of good stuff for people that have helped them, basically just optimize their hormones. And he doesn't operate in a clinic, so it is through, you know, you just get your prescription basically and get it filled at, you know, a compounding pharmacy or whatever. So there is going to be something out there, but maybe what I'm saying is there's another option besides the big clinics, because it sounds like what Scott's saying, that, you know, they're already charging you so much for the stuff, and it's only going to get to be more. It's kind of tricky too, I think, when they're writing you the prescription, but they're also, it's kind of like at the same time they're also working sales. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And I got to tell you too, I think a lot of people don't understand this. I've seen some bad growth come out of compounding pharmacies.
Have with you really?
And everything. Yes. And that to me is a travesty.
Yeah.
Because when people go, not only do they want it legal, but they're paying extra money, not only so that it's legal or because it's legal, but also because they trust that that is going to be among the higher quality compounds that they get. And then it comes out on blood work and it's nothing, or it's damn near nothing. You got to be shitting me. But it can happen. I won't say it's common, but I will say that it has happened more times than I thought it should.
Hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. That's terrible, man. I never heard that before.
Yeah, that is fucking bad. I completely agree. I was floored by that.
Wow. Yeah, especially at those prices.
Right.
Let's see. This is, we got, hey guys, longtime listener. So I'm coming off after 5 years of blasting and cruising. Everybody's coming off. What's up with this? Like, everybody's,
I don't come off. Why is everybody quitting? Same right? thing. Tobacco, quitting growth hormone. Come on. Or maybe not growth hormone. Maybe he's talking about gear. Yeah. Go ahead.
He says, been 5 years of blasting and cruising, doing a standard PCT of Clomid and Novadex for 8 weeks. Reason for coming off is wife and I want to have kids here in the future. How likely am I to recover after being on so long, and how much am I likely to lose size-wise? 6'1", 225, roughly 9% body fat. I'm on my first week of PCT, so 2 weeks post last shot of TRT levels. Workouts are still great, and no noticeable changes to body composition yet. Scott, how about you?
As far as being able to have the kid, that would be just a blind guess. It'll happen or not. As far as losing size, not as much as you think. I mean, just up the calories some, keep training. I think people, it's more psychological. It is. It's more psychological than anything. But, you know, it's when we get questions like this with, you know, I've been on so long and then I'm going to PCT and try to have kids. I mean, man, your guess is as good as mine. It could happen or it couldn't. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. You know, I mean, really, there's no like formula to this. It either, you know, it's very, it's kind of all over the place, you know. I mean, I couldn't give him a good answer on that part.
Yeah, he's more worried about the size, though. That's the main thing he's worried about.
He'll probably be about 160 pounds in a week.
Yeah, no shit, right? There is a psychological component, I agree, but he's still going to lose some. I think what happens is psychologically, we think we're losing far more than we actually are. Mm. I think that's the main component. And then when the psychological component kicks in and you don't make the adjustments by cutting back on your training and your frequency to be able to make sure that your recovery is maximized, that makes it even worse. So that's basically when the logical seems illogical, but it's actually backwards. You come off, you want to be able to train more because you think you're going to hold more size that way when that's illogical. You need to actually cut back, lower the frequency, and probably lower the volume so that you can increase recovery and hold more of that tissue. The other thing is this, though, and I got to say this because I never have understood this mentality, and I'm not knocking the caller, but it's just, or the guy asking a question, but it's a good opportunity to answer, to respond to this. Why, and probably because I already have four kids, I know how this works, but, or have a better idea, I guess, because I've had kids, but why, I don't understand why people want to come off, go through this PCT, they're concerned about losing size, anything else, just because they want to have kids. Why don't you just try to have kids? I think what happens is, and my best answer to this that I'm guessing is, people think that, like this guy right here thinks he has zero chance to conceive a child because he's been on. And let me tell you, and I've said this over and over and over over the years, I use myself as an example, and I'm not the exception to the rule. I was on for 3.5 years, and we conceived our fourth child. That's not like a misnomer. That happens. There are many, many people out there who that has happened to, or they come off for a month or two, and then they are able to get their wife or girlfriend pregnant, and they think it's because they came off. You haven't been off long enough in a month or two to have any real significant increase in the likelihood that you're going to have or be able to conceive. It's not going to make that much of a difference. So I just don't understand why, like in this particular situation, I would tell this guy, look, just, you're doing pretty much all the things you need to do to get pregnant now, unless she's, you know, your girlfriend's using birth control. So see if you can get pregnant. I wonder if this is the reason. I wonder if people are concerned, and this would make sense, I get it, if this is the case. I wonder if they're concerned that their child is going to have 3 foreheads and 2 dicks if they conceive while they're on gear. I wonder if that plays into it. Like there's going to be something wrong genetically, like gear messes up the genetic structure or the DNA or something. I don't know, but it doesn't do that. I don't know if that's what they think. And maybe, you know, you guys are listening to me going, Skip, that's not what they think. That's fine. That doesn't make any sense. That could be, but I don't understand why more people just don't try and be like, okay, I really don't want to lose this size. So I'm just going to let, you know, my wife's going to be off birth control and we're not going to use the incredibly effective pullout method. Yeah. Which I'll just let you know really has created probably all four of my kids. Quite frankly, there was a miscarriage in there too, so I could probably almost say 5, but nonetheless, just try to have a kid. I mean, I'm not saying that coming off is a bad idea, but if you just have those concerns, just start with the process before you even come off. You never know. It's happened numerous times where you can impregnate, you can get that. It's part of the reason that testosterone as a male contraceptive has not been, what do I want to say? Like it hasn't been accepted or approved because it's not fucking effective. It's not effective enough.
Ooh, hey, I got a caller.
I've had all 3 of my kids when I was on.
See? Well,
my known kids.
Yeah, the ones you know about.
Yeah.
Bring that caller in.
All right, let me see if I can get him here.
Tell him I got a new mic.
All right, I'll let him know. It's a long question he had here. We'll let him ask it.
Yeah.
If he answers.
Hello?
Oh, I think we got him. Hey, this is Scott from Blood, Sweat, and Gear. I'm with S2H and Skip Hill. Who are we talking to?
Hey, how's it going, guys? It's Julian.
Hey, what's up, Julian? Thanks for calling into the show, man. What's your question? Well, first of all, where are you at?
So I am in Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm actually here taking my dog out. I was actually not too long ago watching you playing around with your four-legged one.
Oh yeah, you saw my Instagram story.
Yeah. So I've got him right now. White German Shepherd.
Oh, nice.
He's kind of mad because I haven't taken him for a walk today.
Ooh. Scott wanted me to let you know he's got a new microphone. He said it was important.
It's very important.
Oh, thank you.
Are you a Colts fan?
Am I a Colts fan? Yeah. So I'm actually from originally from Miami. So
nice.
I kind of adopted the Colts, I suppose. I saw the win yesterday from the Dolphins. That was pretty fun.
I heard it was crazy. I had a couple of people ask me about it, and I was like, I don't know. I'm just sitting here waiting for baseball season. So
I wasn't aware people still watch baseball.
That.
I'm just kidding.
So what's your question, brother? I got your pictures here, man. You look great. You got really nice progress and really good physique. What do you weigh?
So right now I'm around 190. I started the prep around 212. I was just fat. I'm not sure if I mentioned that. I just got a little bit too fat, so started the prep for the show about 26 weeks out, and then right now I'm down to 190. I haven't done a minute of cardio. This prep's been kind of weird because the diet hasn't changed one bit.
Really?
I've had the exact same diet since September 1st. Not changed nice. One thing. Zero cardio. Training has been really intense, so that's kind of been real fun. But the question is real simple. I'm very new to this will be my first show that I'm not doing natural. My goal originally was to win a show, an overall natural, and I did that last year in September.
Nice.
So I was like, all right. And then 6 months down the road, I went to do my blood work, and my test levels were around 290. And I was like, all right, if I'm gonna give this bodybuilding thing a go, it's the time is now. I'm 30. I'm gonna be 30 this year, so I was like, let's see what happens. Did two test cycles only, 250 meg for the first one, and then 300 for the second. Did each of those for 12 weeks. Felt great. Felt like I was 16 years old again. It was awesome. And then from there, I was like, all right, well, let's get on to the show. So I started again, test only at 300 meg, and then I mean that's been working. I'm kind of trying to get the most out of the least. And then I threw EQ in the equation, 300 meg of that. But my question was, are you guys more inclined as far as for the future? Because right now I think I'm just going to run EQ and test and ride it out, see how it goes. But when you were to add something else, would you be more in favor of saying adding something, another drug, or just upping the dose in the future of either of the two drugs, either test or EQ? So like saying if I was going to run a gram of total gear, would it be better to play around with smaller doses of multiple things, or just keep it simple with higher doses of let's say two drugs?
Let me ask you one more thing before the guys jump in. Are you talking about for off season or for cutting?
Good question. Yep.
So after, as far as this show, yeah, so most likely it would be off season.
Okay.
Cause after, I think I've got my mindset right now that I'm just going to stick with these two things. Things have been really going really good.
Yeah.
I'm leaning out, I'm getting bigger, so I have no reason to throw more in the equation. No. So yeah, it'd definitely be for off season.
Okay. Yeah. You guys got something?
I'd love to jump on this first. Because I'm going to go a direction that he wouldn't expect.
Mm.
I say that if you keep the two compounds that you're doing now, test and EQ, and it might not be a great idea to continue to run EQ for a long time, but understand that just based on the point that I'm trying to make, if you were to keep these two compounds at the same dosing, but go into the off season where you have a surplus of calories, you're going to grow like a fucking weed. So I would say that if you're not experience or you have a lot of time with gear in the off season, you stay with the same dosing, you're going to grow quite well out of the gates and probably for a little while before you would need to increase dosing. If you're saying no, Skip, stay on my question, it's one of two options. Would you increase the dosage with the two compounds, or would you add a third compound? I'm gonna keep it simple kind of guy. In the off season, I would just say increase the dosage. If you were still in prep and you wanted to add another compound, I might say, you know what, throw in a little bit of an oral for the last 6-8 weeks, throw in some Anavar, see how that goes. But I do think at some point there's very little difference between two compounds and three compounds if the dosing is the same.
Yeah, I mean, I would say You know, the internet says you should take 5 grams a week.
Exactly.
I wouldn't follow the internet. I mean, if you're getting results out of what you have, I would stick with it until you don't get results. And then I would move up in just slow moderation.
Right.
I wouldn't say, okay, I got to go from 600 to a gram. Just go, you know, maybe bump the EQ up another 100, leave the test, or just come up 50 or 100. I mean, there's no sense in making a big, you know, if you're getting good results at that, why double it almost, you know? Just go up what you need to and then work with it from there, see how your body reacts. I think people make these huge jumps and for no apparent reason other than, you know, somebody told them to or they read it somewhere. So just work, do what works for you and just go up a little bit at a time. You know, that's what I would say.
Awesome. I mean, that kind of reaffirmed what I was already thinking. I respect you guys so much. And I'm like, when you hear from someone else, it kind of reaffirms. Because the internet, when I was driving myself nuts researching. I was like, this is too much. I was like, I'm going to do what I feel is right and just keep it simple, keep it low, and see how it goes.
And you're responding. That's the most important thing. So it keeps with the mentality. You already have the mindset that you're using a minimal amount and you're responding well to it. So, you know, run with it. You probably do well with it.
How much longer do you have in your diet?
So at this point, I'm 16 weeks out.
Oh, wow. You got so much time.
Yeah.
So I mean, I'm kind of, and that was the one thing. I'm like, oh, when do I kick in cardio? Because I'm still losing a pound a week, and I'm getting tighter. I'm getting bigger. I'm just like, and I'm like, in my head, I'm like, I need to do cardio.
No, you do not.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's kind of what I'm in the past. I didn't push cardio heavy, but it was just, I knew at one point, okay, I'm not responding. I need to kick in cardio, but just like, I'm like, when am I going to stop? When is just training and, you know, not going to be enough? And it's been weird, I guess. It's been different.
Maybe it will be, though. Ride that horse as long as you can ride it. Because if you're training intensely and it's relatively frequently, don't miss out. A lot of people do. They forget the metabolic impact and the demands that they're putting on their metabolism and on their body just with the training. And the longer you can ride that, the better off you're going to be.
I just sent your pictures along to the guys, so they'll be able to check out your progress, man. So far, you're looking great. Well, we appreciate the call. We hope you can stay warm over there in Indiana.
Wait, is this him right now?
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah, don't put that cardio in, dude. Just don't do it. Ride
those
it
wheels. Wheels look great, you know.
Yeah, and if you're this is your condition at 16 weeks out, yeah, you're in a pretty good spot. Good for you.
Dance with the one that brought you.
There you go.
All right. Appreciate it, guys. You guys are the best.
All right. Good luck.
Thanks for the call. All right. Cool. Well, I'm glad that we could squeeze a call in there. I'm going to go to one more question, guys. Let's see. This is, hey, guys, longtime listener. Wait, no. Next one. That's not a question. Question for Skip and S2H. If you could tell your doctor what to prescribe for TRT, what would that be, including any AIs, HCG, whatever? Scott, you're on doctor prescribed HRT. What does your protocol look like?
200 milligrams of testosterone cypionate a week, one IU of growth hormone a day, and either Arimidex or Romicin. They prescribe it for every day, 25 or 1 milligram. It depends what it is, but that might not always get used. So that's pretty much it because doctors, a standard doctor, not some of your anti-aging, but they can't go above FDA prescribing guidelines.
Right.
So that's pretty much actually the growth, they can go up a little more than that to 2, I believe, a day. Mm-hmm. But that's pretty much all they can do for you.
Mine would be very, very similar to Scott's. I would probably try to push my doctor to 2 for growth because there would be room. And I would definitely go with Aromacin. I only know that because I've seen my blood work many times over the years on both compounds, and it is dramatically different based on whether I'm using Aromacin or Arimidex. So I would use Aromacin. Yeah, oh yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, but most of them won't prescribe you Aromacin.
I agree. I completely agree. That's why, but going off of I think what Scott was saying was if it just didn't matter, like I had total control over it, didn't have anything to do with I know he didn't say anything about price, but didn't have anything to do with price or anything like that. That's what I would I would do. I'd probably try to push him to closer to 225 or two, because it takes me about 220 milligrams of test, and especially if it's basically a cypionate, but that's usually what it takes to get me to about the 1150 mark. And that's where I prefer to be. But everybody's a little bit different. It just depends. Everybody's a little bit different. So,
has your response changed over time, or has that been pretty consistent long term?
Well, honestly, if I'm being completely transparent, I am not TRT, of course. So,
okay.
I was until a year and a half ago, whatever the fucking time frame is off the top of my head. But yeah. It had changed a little bit. It would fluctuate. Yeah, you know, free tests would fluctuate a little bit. SHBD, it just depend. There weren't big swings. I wasn't far off. Let's say, as an example, from when I started in 2013 to, you know, 2 years ago, when I was still TRT, I didn't have much of a. There wasn't this huge thing. Like, it took me, you know, so much more testosterone to get to that same blood level. It was pretty close. It never changed too much. Hmm.
So were you on TRT for the TRT video series?
Well, yeah, of course.
Hey, I'm going to throw one more in here because it's a good question. Do you recommend training abs in the off season? Skip?
Oh, yeah. Abs all the time.
Yeah? What do you do for them?
I'm very, very careful with, I've gotten away from anything that would be considered compound. I don't do anything that's load bearing or weight bearing that would potentially stress my lower back. So one of my favorites is like a rope crunch from a high pulley. That way there's just no, every now and then I might do bent leg or bent knee, hanging leg raises. It's not very common. And I would have to put up with my training partner when I was in Colorado, who was a chiropractor, who just basically would not allow
me to do it. I was going to say, that's Dr. Sean, right?
Exactly. Dr. Jake.
Jake, that's who it is. Yep. Dr. Jake. So, yeah, we had him on the show, and I've been super, every time I do any type of crunch, he's in the back of my head now.
Yep, exactly, right?
So what was...
Well, it's funny because I've gotten away from that. And at the same time, I mean, I'm going to knock on wood like crazy, but I have not had a major back injury in 3.5 years. And I don't know how it's contributed to it, whether it has or not. But I will tell you that I am banging some weights that I have not touched. And I've only been back for about 10 or 11 weeks now.
Huh.
And these are weights I haven't touched on my legs for years. I mean, I'm talking like back 2012, 2011, and they're just starting to climb because I'm still on a restricted caloric intake until the first of the year. So I don't know. Those numbers are going to go crazy next year, I think. So far, it's been good.
So say that again. What was the crunch? How do you do that with the cable crunch?
Basically, I'm on my knees. Sometimes I'll stand, but I get away from the high pulley, which is usually the double pulley, and I just do crunches where essentially my shoulders are going towards the floor because I'm standing or kneeling. And it's hard to explain because you don't bend, you crunch. It's pulling the hips and the shoulders together instead of just pivoting. And it's hard to explain. I could probably do a video the more I think about it. And post that, and I'll tag, you know, advices or post it on the advices page to make my point. But that way, it's not like with a crunch machine.
Yeah.
When you're lying down or something like that, or one that is seated, those put such huge stress on the lower back that when you have chronic pain like I do, mm-hmm. and I don't have that pain anymore, but I can feel that tightness, and it doesn't feel right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when you're doing them the way that I do them, where it's not loading, you know who got me to do too? It was Dr. Scott Stevenson. We were talking about oblique work, and I said, I want some oblique work, but I don't want to do side bends and stuff. And he's the one that said, he goes, you want to do pulley side crunches because they're not load bearing. And I started using them, and I'm like, I'll be goddamn, this is incredibly effective, and did not think that it would be. I almost look at it as almost like the concentration curl of, you know, obliques. Like, what was this really going to do? You know, I need some side bends and stuff. No, these are really They worked really well. I only do them typically in prep. And I always tell people, this is just my opinion, but I don't do a ton of ab work. I do enough ab work based on two things. If you don't have the development from a muscular standpoint, like your abdominal wall is not thick enough, then you have to treat your abs basically like any other muscle group that you would want to train to add size. That doesn't mean six rep sets, but it does mean you better bang the fucking crap out of them with resistance to build that muscle thicker. If you already have relatively good development, then really your abdominal work, in my opinion, should just be enough to make sure that you're stabilizing your midsection or your spine so that you don't get into a situation with squats and bent over rows where your lower back is in a vulnerable position because it's not strong enough to like support it, basically. Strong enough to keep your hips from moving. It's what I call a strong foundation. You just don't want any movement during squats or bent over rows where the hips move at all.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, if you can shoot a video, I think I understand what you're saying, but if you do shoot a video, definitely let me know. I'll reshare that so that all the listeners can see it too.
Yep, I'll definitely do that this week. Cool.
That sounds good. What about you, Scott?
What are abs?
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, I do side bends and sit-ups from that song from the 80s.
Please don't.
I mean, it's, you know, after we just listened to Skip's painful description of this exercise, that no one can figure out what it is.
But you knew. You knew what I was saying.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, it's, I'm not big on like, you know, sit ups and stuff like that, but, you know, more, you know, frog kicks and the hanging leg raises, that kind of thing. But I wouldn't say that when I think about the gym, abs jump right up at me on the top of my list. You know, a little bit here and there, a couple times a week.
No, I hurt my back. It's been maybe about 5 weeks ago now. I went in to Becky, who does it's FST type therapy. It's a lot like ART and, you know, active release mixed with deep tissue and stuff. I found that, like, she'll do the thing where, like, she straps one leg down to the table and then she pretzels you and twists you around. I found that when she would do that to me, it would like kind of add extraneous pressure on the back, and I would end up walking away from it feeling more pain. So this time when I came in, because most of the work I've had her do for me is upper body with my shoulder, and the few times she's worked lower body, like I said, it's kind of irritated me worse. So this last time I went in after I'd hurt my back, she went in through the front and started working through like the psoas muscles and all through the abs, like real deep abs. It was brutally uncomfortable. But I'll tell you what, she didn't even touch the lower back muscles yet, and I already felt a great deal of relief just loosening those things up. I could see how there's a big connection, you know, between the tenseness, because that those muscles are getting over tensed, and then it transfers. It's crazy how all that stuff is connected, you know. Like,
right,
I'll exactly. have a shoulder issue in the front, and she'll be working on my back somewhere, you know.
Yep.
And it all connects together. But yeah, so well, I'm glad we gathered. We got a bunch of good questions here this week. We've got some more. But we do need more questions, and I would love to have more callers. So, you know, we record every other week. Next episode, let me look at the calendar. Is it going to be Christmas time, or what's going on then?
Christmas on
it's going to be close. Christmas Eve.
Yeah, it'll be Christmas Eve. Are you guys going to be available then, or are you going to be stuff? Yeah?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. Well, if
we can sing Christmas carols.
I'm going to make a note right now. I'm going to put this out. How early do you think I should put a thread out to get callers? Like 2 days in advance?
I'd say I was thinking the Thursday prior to the Monday recording, because not everybody would see it on the weekend, right? Yeah. Thursday or Friday.
Okay. I'll do Friday, because I feel like if you wait too long, then you end up like people forget, you know?
Sure.
Yep. And then I'll put that out on Friday. So guys, look at the Advices Radio page, and I'll post it on my personal Instagram page too, Scott McNally 1. I'll post up a thread so that we can get some good callers together, and we will put together a good, it'll be after Christmas by the time you guys hear it, because that'll come out on the 27th. We'll make it a New Year's Eve type episode.
Yeah. Cool.
And
sounds good.
We'll all get trashed on the radio.
Yeah.
No, that's not going to happen. But I think that we could have a fun show, and you guys can take part. So head over to the forum, and you can ask your questions over there, forum.advicesradio.com, or just go to Advices Radio and click on the forum button. It's in the bodybuilding section, guys. There's threads stickied at the top when you go to the bodybuilding discussion, and you can ask your question for blood, sweat, and gear. I put out a thread today. I don't think it got a lot of visibility because we only got three people that asked for shout outs, and that was Kyle Charsley. I think that's how you say it? Charsley? Charsley. Charsley.
Sounds good. Yeah.
All right. Nathaniel Casey and Time Captured Now. Time Captured Now is from Australia. So got a listener all the way from AU. Guys, what's going on today? What are you training, Skip? I know you sound like you're on fire in the gym.
I got back going today. Today is the and whatever I train on Monday, I train on Friday, so it's a double back week. Things are going well. Clients just left from, well, clients/friends are cool as hell. But Kurt and Kiki just left to go back to France. They'll be on a flight here in a couple hours. They're here for almost a month, so went to San Diego, came back. So everything goes kind of back to normal. We're not going to have the kids for Christmas, so it's nice. Going to be chill here. Yeah.
It's cool. Scott, how about you? What's up for your day?
I'm going to stuff my face in a minute because I'm hungry. And then, I don't know. Monday's kind of my off day. I haven't decided what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I just want to spend time with y'all.
Well, we will be back, guys, in another 2 weeks with another episode of Blood, Sweat, and Gear. Head on over to Intense Muscles. Is it intensemuscle.com, Skip?
Intensemuscle.com.
And teamskip.com. Check out Skip. Check out everything he's doing. Guys, for another episode of Advices. Well, it's not even Advices Radio, is it? I'm going to leave it. For another episode of Blood, Sweat, and Gear. That's the show. I'm Scott McNally with Skip Hill and S2H, guys. We'll see you soon.
Late.
I'm gonna leave
that. That actually was cool. You should leave it. Exactly.
Well, fuck it.